Thanks, Ben and team. Hi, everybody. I want to start by leading us through a prayer of gratitude together for God. And let me give you the context of why I want to do that. We are on the heels tonight of an amazing 10 weeks of ministry here at Westwood. We went through a 10-week series called So Pray, which was the deepest dive in a prayer series that we've ever done in our history. And we came off of last weekend two very significant prayer events. One was the 24-hour prayer event that started at 5 o'clock on Friday night, went all the way through until Saturday night at 5 o'clock, and hundreds participated in that. And if you were here last week, you might remember that Pastor Joel's message was about healing prayer. And at the conclusion of our evening, we invited those who wanted to receive healing in their life for whatever need they might have to come forward and have people pray over them. Throughout the weekend, 1,500 people came forward. And maybe even you did. And if you were here, you might have sensed the same thing that I did, where it was tangible and almost you could feel God moving in this room as people released burden and God began to heal and did a marvelous work. And so what we want to do is give gratitude to God, and we'll do that in just a second. But let me mention a couple of resources that are available to us as a church. The first are all 10 messages that are available online on our website and through our Westwood app that we have for both Apple and Android. The other thing that's available is the prayer guide that was used for the 24-hour prayer experience. It's a great way for you to pray. And then another thing that's available is a copy of the prayer that was prayed for healing if you came forward, if you might want to take advantage of that. Go to those resources and get that if you would choose to. But before we turn the page and go into tonight's message and then into Advent next week, I thought it would be appropriate for us to stop and to give praise to God together. So would you stand where you're seated? And I would like to invite you to join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 136. And essentially what I'll do is read the first part of it, and then your response with great enthusiasm will be, "His love endures forever." Let's read this together. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him alone who does great wonders. His love endures forever." Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we are thankful to gather together tonight. And we are also grateful people that you have moved significantly among and in us throughout these last few weeks. We give you thanks especially for the experience last weekend that was ours. And ask that you would continue to use it in our lives as we continue to look to you for healing. And Father, as we gather tonight, might you open up our mind and our heart to receive a new message that we might walk out of this place different people together. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. You may be seated. Well, my name is Brian Suter, and I am the pastor of Community Life and Learning here. And I want to say to you, happy Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving is a great time to gather, be grateful, and I hope and trust that you had that experience this weekend. And if nothing else, Thanksgiving is great for social permission to be able to listen to Christmas music, which for those of you that have been doing it since July, that's really good news for you. But tonight is a standalone message, and what I mean by that is it's not attached to any greater, larger, longer series. And so I was driven, in a sense, by taking one of my most favorite passages of Scripture and inviting you into a conversation that I've been having in my head through the last few years, actually. And the title of my message is "We Are New," and I want to invite you, if you've not yet, to take out your teaching notes. Throughout tonight, maybe something that is said just sparks some interest in you, or you want to capture that for the next week ahead. My mentality is that this message really begins for me and for you when we leave these doors. And so my hope is to give you some things that you'll be able to go into this next week and pursue. Don't you just love new? Do you love new things like I do? Whatever it might be, there's something about new that invigorates us to the deepest level of who we are. Maybe for some of you, if you've gotten anything new recently, that might create stress in you. I don't know. But for me, I love it. For instance, that moment when I walked into my cell phone carrier and I said to the guys behind the desk, "I don't know what's wrong with my cell phone, my old cell phone." And they said, "We don't either. Here's a new one." I said, "Yes, I'll take that." That was exciting for me. Maybe you moved into a new home, maybe yourself or your family, and something about that experience, either for your family or yourself, created a new rhythm within you. Even our kids get into this. They might get a new toy from us or someone else, or they might have something brand new in their life. And for at least the first 3 minutes, they are very, very engaged. It might be a new job where you enter into new responsibilities, new relationships within that job. There's something about it that just starts a whole new experience within you. Or maybe like me, you experienced a new car. I'll give you the story about this. So I was on a date with a very beautiful woman that I was very interested in. And I picked her up in what was then my old beater. And that morning, my car had been making some really funny, strange, and very loud noises. But I didn't pay any attention to it. So I continued throughout my day, and then I went to pick her up, and we went out for our date. And then later on in the evening, we got into my car to drive for home. And I got into a road in the middle of St. Louis Park, a relatively busy road, mind you. And in the middle of this road, my car came to a grinding, screeching halt. What happened was the transmission completely locked, and that locked up the tires. I mean, imagine in your ears with me a minute, metal grinding on metal with the sound of rubber just screeching on the asphalt. It's not exactly the way that you want a date to go. So I called the tow truck. The tow truck came, really intense woman with a very angry and mean dog. And I had the audacity to ask her, could we get a ride? To which she said, are you nuts? Have you seen the dog? That wasn't going to work out for us. Later on, we got home. I got home. And it wasn't exactly the way that I wanted it to go. And so the next day, I went on and bought a new car. And by the way, I married that woman that I was on a date with. And I like to think that in me, she found charm and good looks. But I'm sure that it had something to do with not picking her up again in that car that I subjected her to that experience in. You know, as great as new things are, we're not here to talk about new things tonight. Because when we examine the scriptures and we find out what's really new, new things don't even hold a candle to how great it is that we have a new reality that we step into in Jesus Christ. Years ago, as I was reading the scriptures, I stumbled on this passage, and it literally leapt off the page at me. And there was something within me that got unlocked. And from that point forward, it has served as one of those verses that I keep closest to my mind and my heart that goes through my head all the time. And it's become a construct for how I grow spiritually. And I'm hoping that it's inspirational for you tonight. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has come and begun. I grew up in church. In fact, I don't remember many weekends where I wasn't in a church. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I learned about God. I learned a little bit about His story. And then eventually my journey would take me the summer after my senior year in high school to Young Life Camp in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, where I would hear this story again. I would hear my existence and how I needed Jesus to come into my life and pay essentially a penalty for myself that I could not pay as a result of my sin and indebtedness to God. And the speaker that week used a metaphor. And the metaphor that he used was, to receive Jesus Christ essentially means that you take the hands off of the steering wheel of your life and you allow God to lead you. Sound familiar to anybody? And I did just that. And from that moment on, I've really never been the same person. When I got back from that week, I knew that I was different. Because I had a fundamental shift in my identity. I was no longer who I was. I had been made new and was becoming new. And all of this was a gift that God gave me freely with delight. My head and my behavior, as is normal for me, took a lot longer to catch up with my heart. Even though I knew that in that moment I was saved from sin and death by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I still lived in a sense where if I just did enough good, I could achieve the status that I had been looking for with God. In other words, this old self that had been done away with, if I just gave enough attention to that and stopped doing those things, I would arrive at a place in my life where I felt like God loved me. I was living essentially what Dallas Willard calls the gospel of sin management. If I just did enough good, then I would overcome essentially what that old person was. I had not yet turned and set my sights on the vision that God had given me for just how new I had become and how new He was making me with ever increasing levels. When I found this verse, I knew God's grace like I never had before. I realized that I had been made new, and I had a new identity. And I also realized that there was nothing that I could do to make God love me less. But on the same level, there was nothing that I could do of good that would make God love me more. It was an as-is deal. I was brand new. And instead of that, I became focused on being more of the new self of this vision that God has given me and to you this evening. And the news that I can report to you is that I'm still very much a work in progress. Every day is a new day of becoming new. I don't know about you, but when someone comes to me and says, I have news for you, I have bad news, and I have good news, which would you like first? I like to go with the bad news first because the good news looks gooder. And so we've got some bad news to share in tonight. And that is that you have an old self. And I have an old self, an old identity. It's old in identity in relation to God. There's a general sense of how we are old self, and there's a specific sense. Let me give some attention to both of these. This last week I sat down for an afternoon and I read the scriptures very quickly, but I read the scriptures, especially the New Testament, to examine and define what the old self was and what that is defined by. And I want to encourage you, if it would be helpful for you, maybe to grab a few notes so you can take this with you. I'm going to go relatively quick. The old self, as defined by the landscape of the scriptures, is the condition that we all exist in and we share in it. And that is that it's dead to sin and slaves to it. By nature, our old selves are deserving of God's wrath, separated from Christ with a chasm that we can't overcome by our own efforts. Our old self is actively being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And we were once defined in our old self as darkness. We were wicked and godless. We had fallen short. We had been alienated from God and enemies of His in our minds. In our old self, we are sinners. But yet, if all of us are being honest, and if I'm being honest with you, I have a specific old self. And what I mean by that are areas of sin and brokenness that I am prone to and that you are prone to, maybe more than others. Maybe it's an addiction that we carry. Maybe it's a behavioral pattern that upsets our relational worlds in our life. Perhaps it's sinful patterns that we just can't seem to shake. That makes up our specific old self. Enough of the bad news. Let's go to the good. Here's the main thing that I want you to grab tonight. When I say the word I want you to personalize it. If I belong to Christ, there are three things that are true of me, as we see in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The first is this: if I belong to Christ, my old identity is gone. It's gone. The tone of this word gone in the original language means that it's dead, that it's been taken from us and thrown away. It's gone and dealt with. Your old self in your general sense, and your old self in your specific, in mine as well, has been dealt away with. It's gone. If I belong to Christ, my old identity is gone. Secondly, if I belong to Christ, I have a new identity. New in the sense that it's fresh, it's recently made, and it's immediate. It comes immediately. This means that defined by God, I am not who I was. I am made right in standing with God. And those things which have held me captive in my life don't have as much power any longer. He's set us free and He's made us right with Him. When I first chose to follow Jesus, I started to interact with a lot of people that were on that same journey as I was. And one of the things that I heard them say was this phrase every once in a while. And I began to say it even myself. And that phrase is this: I'm just a sinner. And when I saw this passage of Scripture, that got reframed for me. My friends, you are not just a sinner if you are in Christ. You are a sinner that has been remade. Is that good news to anyone in here? You are a sinner that has been remade and given a whole new identity. That's good news. And it doesn't stop there either. First, if I am in Christ, my old identity is gone. Second, I have a new identity. And third, I am being made new. I am being made new. God has not left us alone. He is with us. And this is something that is happening. You are becoming. When you come to faith, it's established and settled that you are new. But it's a process that just gets started at that point. That's the trailhead of the journey. And along every step that you take, God makes you and I new. And He makes that ability available to us through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes, "We are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit." This means every day, my friends, if you are in Christ, you have available to you the resources of God to become better than you were yesterday. Isn't that great? We have the ability to become more like Jesus every single day. And that's quite an invitation. Who wouldn't want that? So what's the new self as is defined by the Scriptures? Again, like I said, I took an afternoon and read the Scriptures to find out not only what the old self was, but the new self. Here's what it is in general sense. How we're all being remade. Right fast. We in our new selves are chosen to be holy and blameless in God's sight. We are included in Christ and saved by grace through our faith. We have been brought near by Jesus Christ, though we once were far. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we are fellow citizens of God's house alongside of Jesus Christ. We are alive in Christ, which juxtaposes the language of being dead in sin in our old existence. We are light in the Lord. We are justified by Christ and made right. And we have peace with God. We are no longer enemies. We have been called children of God and God's holy people. And as was true for those first followers of Jesus that Paul wrote to when he addressed them as saints, we have been made saints and are being made saints every day. Have you ever considered that? This is what we exist in. And then yet, those areas of specific temptation of our old self and the things that used to define us, they don't have any power any longer over us. Because God has set us free from those things that have entrapped us and tangled us up throughout our journeys. We are no longer that. And He gives us the power to begin to work on those issues, not having a place in our lives. And we may be at work at those things for the rest of our lives here on this earth. This is good news. You know, one of the things that drives me is to give us real practical things that we can give attention to in the next week so that we can begin to live what we hear here. Because again, I believe that this starts when we leave. So I want to talk about two ways that we pursue the new. The first is individually. We pursue the new self, the new identity, the new creation that God is making in us as individuals. But yet, I want to make very clear that we are not meant to do this alone. We have to do this together with other followers of Jesus in community. There's an individual aspect to pursuing this and an aspect that we pursue in community. Let's start with individually. First is to choose to belong to Christ. To choose to belong to Christ. In my new role here at Westwood, one of my responsibilities is to work with our faith story guests like Annalisa, who shared tonight. And I have been just privileged to hear more stories of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ than I had pretty much all of the 8 years before I've made this switch. And I've heard stories of people who have been here since the beginning of Westwood Community Church for 17 years who have come to faith in the last year. I've heard stories of people who came to faith metaphorically within 17 minutes of being here. It's a profound thing. People come to faith in Jesus Christ all the time here at Westwood. And it never ceases to amaze me, the work of God. Because just like me, God pulls at your heart and gives you invitations. And I wonder tonight, as I've wondered all weekend and have prayed for this to be a reality, if there are some of us in this room who maybe have not made that choice. It might look different for every single one of us. In other words, some of us come to faith maybe in a season of our life. Some of us come to faith in a way that doesn't seem very dramatic, and others come to faith in a very dramatic way. But I think that in order to choose Christ, we make a capital C choice in whatever way that might look for us individually. And then we make hundreds of thousands of lowercase c choices in order to be made new and to follow Jesus. So could your invitation tonight to be made new be to choose tonight, capital C, to belong to Christ? If that might be you, my prayer is that you wouldn't let this night go by. And release your hands from the steering wheel and give over control to God, because you will be made new. God will gift you. He will delight in gifting you with a brand new identity that is being made new and renewed and whole every single day. Second, to set your mind on the new creation. Set your mind on the new creation, the new identity, the new self that God has already stamped on us and is making us better at every single day. Do you know that within you, God has given you and I one of the most powerful tools to spiritual growth? Yours could be brighter than mine. And it's our mind. It's our brain. It's the thing that dictates our thought patterns and our choices and behaviors every single day. Consider what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh, in other words, the old self for our conversation tonight, have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh or the old self is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit or the new self is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The thought patterns that we have that go through our minds in any given day have the power and the potential either to steer us toward who God has already made us to be in Christ and is working on us to become better at every day, or they have the power and the potential to steer us away from who God is making us to be in Christ, maybe more towards the old self. And so I want to invite you with me to do a little self-inventory tonight. Is the general pattern of thought, the flow of thought that go through your mind every single day, is it generally point towards the old self and those old patterns of behavior that we described just a few moments ago? Or do the thought patterns of your mind in every given day point you towards the new? In other words, is your mind filled with the things of God in order that you might become new with ever-increasing glory? Maybe you're not able to answer that question immediately tonight. And if you're not, I want to invite you over the next 2 hours to listen to your thought patterns, because you'll have an answer when you listen. The invitation here is to fill our minds with the things of God, especially the things that Paul writes in the words that we shared just a few moments ago of who we are. Ephesians 4 reads, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Fill your mind with the truth of who you already are in Christ. All the time. Take the words maybe that you penned just a few moments ago while we were describing the new self. Or maybe grab a Bible tonight on your way out if you don't have one, and turn to the book of Ephesians and read the first three chapters. The Apostle Paul pours himself out to that ancient church to say, "This is who you are. Don't ever forget it." Fill your mind with those things and put things that you write in really practical spots. Maybe your mirror in your bathroom. Maybe in your car when you drive. Maybe at your workplace on your desk, so that you can always remind your mind to be pointing your soul towards the new self that God is creating from within you. The first, choose to belong to Christ. Second, set your mind on the new creation. And then third, actively confront the old self. Actively confront your old self. Now, while it is very true that God, if we are in Christ and we belong to Him, has taken our old self and crucified it, and it is dead and gone, every once in a while, that old self comes back to life. And the way that it does is when we allow it to. Because we belong to Christ and we are in the grip of grace, there is no sin that has any control or power over us beyond what we allow it to have. So when that old self rises again, we've allowed it to rise. And when it does, we have to confront it immediately. I'm inspired by an individual who came into our church to pray. And I ended up praying with this person. This is a person that has belonged to Jesus for many years, and throughout his journey has had really, really good seasons of growth. And in the most recent season, as a result of some circumstances, he's realized that the old self is starting to rise again, and he wants to deal with it. And as a first step to a very diligent and beautiful process, he wanted to pray. And I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of that, because he's confronting the old self and showing me how to do it. When the old self rises again, my friends, confront it. Get in its face, metaphorically, and remind yourself that that has no power any longer. Those are ways that we do this individually. But again, let me remind us that we are not designed to do the journey of faith alone. We need other followers of Jesus. We need to do this in community. And I was reminded this recently through a visit that I had with a friend of mine named Matt. I met Matt about a year ago with some friends here at Westwood when we went to visit him in a prison. As a result of Matt making some decisions because of his old specific self, he's in jail for 20 years total. And he's halfway through his sentence. And behind those bars that imprisoned him, he became new in Jesus Christ and is following the new way. And though he is defined as a prisoner and even reminded of that in every single moment of his existence in that jail, he's not letting it define him, because he knows that he has been made new in Christ and is being made new by God every day even more. And he also knows that he can't do this journey alone. And so what he's done, along with some other inmates, is to pursue this new way together. They've started Bible studies and are reading the scriptures. And their Bible studies have grown so large in that prison that they've needed to split it. And people are coming all the time to join them on this new way. I'm incredibly inspired by that, because he knows beyond the shadow of a doubt, if he is in isolation as he pursues the new self, he won't survive in that. And they're helping each other to do it. That's an example of the reality of which we need other people on our journeys. We need other people to encourage, to challenge, and to love us along the way to becoming new. Here's how this happens. Maybe the old self creeps up in us again. Loving brothers and sisters point it out to us. They challenge us. They tell us that that's not who we are. And then they love us as we seek to correct that. It's a beautiful process that happens in the kingdom of God. Perhaps maybe you've come and you're stuck in guilt and shame that you cannot overcome yourself. To have the voice of another follower of Jesus say to you, you are free of that. And that does not define you any longer. It has amazing power as you hear that from one another and pursue it together. Maybe even as you live out your faith with others like Matt has, people start to take notice themselves and are reconciled to God themselves. And they come to faith. There's an undeniable togetherness dynamic. There's a new phrase for you. There's an unbelievable togetherness dynamic to pursuing this new way. Beautiful things happen when we're in it. So, do this. A couple examples. In your friendships with other people who are followers of Jesus, pursue this together. Encourage one another to be made new all the time. Ask one another how you are being made new. Perhaps if you're married, marriage is one of the best contexts for us to be made new, because you see the old self and all of its ugliness in each other a lot. But yet, in a very beautiful way, you see the new self of how God is making the other person and you new all the time. Fight to make your marriages the context in which this can be increased and incubated, because God will move in a powerful way in that area. Friendships, ministry teams maybe here at Westwood, small groups here at Westwood, and then also relationships both within and outside of our church with people who are following this new way with you. View these relational environments, whatever they might be, as incubators to help you to grow, to help you and I become more new every single day as God works that from in us, within us, and outside of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old has gone and the new has come. Thank you, God. I want to invite us to pray together, and as I do so, the band is going to come and they're going to sing a song over us and invite us to participate a little bit. But I want to pray with you and lead us in that. And if you might be in a place where those words, choose to belong to Christ, just hit you to your core, tonight, choose to belong to Christ. I want to lead at the beginning of our prayer in order to do that. Would you join me? Father in heaven, we acknowledge that we have followed the old way. We acknowledge that we have an old self that has been corrupted with deceitful desires and sin. And we don't want that old way anymore. We believe, Jesus, that you came to this earth to make a way for us and paid a penalty for our old self and its sin that we could not pay on our own. Thank you, Jesus. And now we commit to following after your ways, to releasing our hands from the steering wheel of our lives and allowing you to lead. Would you lead us, God? And Father, for all of us, we pray that you would work in our lives and our hearts. Help us to follow this new way and to get real resolved about how to do so. Give us the courage that we need to step into becoming new when we need it. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.